Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of the Beatitudes, we were taught that we are to love our enemies and to pray for them. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
He says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So this speaks about oaths and your word, the giving of your word. If you've come forward in a church service, for example, you say, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be a witness. You promise you're going to serve God in some capacity. Or you're going to stop some sin in your life. And you started out, but you didn't continue. What's the problem? It's an impure heart. Your heart lacks purity. When your heart lacks purity, you cannot have the peace of God. Now, in our church, we have what is called faith promises, where people make a commitment to God and decide, okay, I'm going to give this much for missions this year. And they don't tell me about it. They just turn in a card without their name on it. It says how much, so we'll know how many missionaries we can add, or unless we have to take them away, which we hope we never have to do. But this lets us know. Now, if they do not keep their promise on that, we don't know what they promised because they turned in nameless cards, but God knows what they did. God knows. And that makes them liars, and their heart's impure. They've not kept their oath. Some have done that on music. You said, I'm going to quit that music. Others said, we're going to have a family altar. Now, God likes vows. He's not against vowing. He says, if you vow, don't defer to pay it. In other words, you're better not to vow than to vow and not pay it. However, God wants you to vow. He wants you to make promises that are built on love and the work of His Holy Spirit working in your heart. We see the treatment of enemies in chapter 5 here, but in verses 38 through 48, that we won't read all those verses now. There are people that may oppose, for example, your pastor or you at work. Our responsibility for those people that oppose us, for those people that are enemies, those people that are speaking against us, as a peacemaker, is found in verses 44 and 45. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father. Now remember what this beatitude in verse 9 said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And now he says here, again, that they would be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So verse 45, saying, hey, pray for those. And who is it to pray for? Notice there, he says, love your enemy. Bless the ones that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Have you ever thought of having a Matthew 5:44 prayer list where you have the people that are your enemies? They curse you, they hate you, they despitefully use you or persecute you. He says to pray for them. love them, bless them, do good, and pray for them. Praying for them isn't saying, Lord, strike them dead. Praying for them. Now, many people glory in the term fighting fundamentalists. But too often, it's an attitude and not a commitment to a principle of the Word of God, not principles of the faith. Rather, it's an attitude, and they get the bless God, I told them attitude. Well, that's not what we mean by fighting fundamentalists. And it's not our desire to fight. But we don't run from the fight either when we're standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The gates of hell should not prevail against us. Gates are for defense, not offense. In Psalms 133:1, it says, Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, we don't need scathing editorials in our homes about different people in the church. We don't need critical evaluations of the pulpit. I can remember being in Christian college, and I remember coming out of the chapel one day, and there was a group of guys, I knew a couple of them, that were standing there talking, and one of them I knew was married, and I think a couple of them may have been married. And because of that, me being a marriage student at the time, I thought, well, I'll just go over and see what they're talking about. Well, they were cutting up that chapel speaker every which way there was to cut him up. And to be quite honest with you, I felt kind of bad because I hadn't caught those things. So each day as I'd come out and notice they're there, and after a week or two, they taught me something. They taught me that how to sit in chapel and look to see if I could find something wrong with what he's saying. And in the process of trying to find everything wrong with what he was saying, I wasn't finding what was right, and I wasn't being edified. Now, in these cases, I don't think they really said anything doctrinally wrong. It was just that there were some differences of opinions on things that had non-doctrinal issues. And I realized that I was starting to come down, and so I just decided I'm going to get out of that group. I'm not going to hang with that group. Sometimes, you know, we get somebody saved that's been an alcoholic all their life. We say they ought to separate from that group. They don't need to go to the bar. They don't need to hang out with those friends at the drugs and all that. And that's right. They don't need to. But sometimes we've got friends that are just filled with critical spirits. And maybe we need to do some separating ourselves. I think of King David. When he fought, he destroyed the enemies. But when it was Saul or Absalom or another Israelite, he sought peaceable solutions. And he's called the man after God's own heart. Now, understand, again, we are at war. But we must realize who the enemy is. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our enemy. Sometimes our enemy tries to work through people. And don't make the people the enemy, but make the enemy that's inspiring them the enemy. Now, we'll be persecuted. But we should expect it from the world. We shouldn't expect it from brethren that we love and who walk with God. I like what Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, without compromising, in other words, without compromising purity, without compromising doctrine, without compromising the purity and the holiness of God, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, that's speaking of your 100% effort, live peaceably with all men. Now that verse lets us know that sometimes that won't be possible, but give it your best effort to do so. Now a short-fused, cranky, griping Christian is not only not a peacemaker, he's not pleasing to God, regardless of what service he's in the church and his attendance to the things of God's house. I mean, they can be very active in the church, They can be teachers, they can be deacons, they can sing in the choir, work in the bus ministry, and have such a critical spirit that they are a peace breaker. And again, those are things that God just utterly detests and hates. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And isn't that great? You can make even your enemies to be at peace with you just through your ways. Now, I learned something as I grown older. When I started hitting 50, I realized my body could not do some things that it used to do. And I've realized since then that every day I wake up, there's probably going to be a pain in a different part of my body. It's not always the same. Some days that there are pains that itch, and you say, oh, I wonder if that was serious. And because you're still standing at the end of the day, you feel like, well, it must not have been. But I know of the aches and pains now as I've hit my 60s. I kind of know of the aches and pains a lot of these folks have to live with. And it's a blessing when I see senior citizens that seem to be joyful, happy people, especially when they're having to live with various types of pains and aches. I think God gives it to us in old age because when we were younger, we couldn't have handled those aches and pains. But on the other hand, having the right spirit for the older person is a battle. And they've got to trust in the Lord, walk with God, and allow Him to give them a joyful spirit, even in those times of affliction. What we need to realize, though, as you read this fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, and you see expanding on the various Beatitudes, that it is important. In being a peacemaker, the first step is inward purity. Now, just how does one make peace? Well, again, I think it's based on our relationship to God. Our relationship to Him should determine our treatment of others. In Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18, we read this, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Wasn't that great? The work of righteousness shall be peace. Well, what is the work of righteousness? Well, that was really defined for us early on in the Bible. And again, I always feel that if the Bible gives us a definition of a word, that's the definition of the word, even if 1,000 theologians try to change it. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.